The Trump administration has reached a joint settlement with 7 states that will effectively shut down a key Biden-era student loan relief program. John Yang looks at what's behind the change and what it could mean for borrowers in the months ahead. John?
Amna, it's called Saving on Valuable Education, or SAVE. It bases borrowers' monthly payments on their incomes and provides a faster path to loan cancellation. The Trump Education Department doesn't like it. Instead, it's created several other repayment options, and with this proposed settlement of a lawsuit brought by 7 Republican states, they're ending it. But what about the roughly 7 million people currently enrolled in it? Danielle Douglas-Gabriel is the Washington Post national higher education reporter. Danielle, let's start with SAVE, this program that is going away, or if the judge approves it's going away. What made it so attractive and what made it so generous for borrowers?
So, John, first, thank you for having me. And with SAVE, it is an income-driven repayment plan, 1 of 4 that the government offers. What makes it different from the other existing income-driven repayment plans, that some dating back 2 decades, is that SAVE has a higher threshold for how much of your disposable income gets counted in the calculation for your monthly bill. So for a lot of people, that means that they saw their monthly payments go down pretty dramatically. It also has a faster path to debt cancellation, meaning that if you borrowed less than $12,000 from the government and have been in repayment for 10 years, your remaining balance would be forgiven. And when it was implemented back in October of 2023, about 400,000 people saw their student loans forgiven as a result of this provision. Well, that cancellation provision became the point of contention for the states that filed this lawsuit several months later, as they said that the Biden administration had exceeded its authority by offering this debt relief without congressional approval.
Tell us a little bit about the path this lawsuit has taken, because it essentially kept the program from being fully implemented, right?
Yes. So there were 2 lawsuits initially, and the one that was filed by or led by the state of Missouri and the 6 other states is the one that kind of had the biggest impact on the program, is that it effectively shut down the whole thing. And essentially, the Biden administration had phased in SAVE, and 1 phase of it was shut down initially by the courts, but the rest of it was allowed to go forward. But this particular case shut down the entire thing. There was an injunction that was pretty far-reaching, and as a result, the department placed about 8 million people originally who were enrolled in the program in a form of forbearance, where their payments were being postponed and interest wasn't accruing on their loans. The problem is, for folks who wanted to go into other income-driven repayment plans, there was as a result of the injunction, a lot of those plans were shut down for several months because the application for them were all a part of the SAVE, was also including SAVE. And so the department had to reconfigure that and figure out how best to get people into these programs without running afoul of the courts. Now, that has created so much chaos when it comes to people who are trying to figure out what's the best path to repaying their loans.
Why doesn't the Trump administration like this? What's their objection?
I think the student loan forgiveness component certainly is a huge part of the objection. You know, there has been an ideological battle between conservatives who feel that student loan forgiveness, any far-reaching student loan forgiveness in particular, really is an affront to people who have not gone to college. They shouldn't have to foot the bill for folks who did pursue a college education. At the same time, there are still existing loan forgiveness programs that are in place, such as public service loan forgiveness that teachers, social workers, and police officers take advantage of. And so those things are safe. But this particular plan, it was a signature part of the Biden administration's campaign to fix the student loan system. And it also, I think, suffered from kind of the ongoing angst against student loan forgiveness, that the program that was struck down by the Supreme Court really centered on. And so even though this is totally different than that far-reaching program that was struck down by the court, they were kind of viewed in the same lens. Unfortunately, what that means for a lot of borrowers who benefited from SAVE is that they will no longer have this generous repayment option afforded to them.
And under this proposed settlement, what's the timeline? When does this program wind down?
That is the big question, John. Everyone is trying to figure exactly when. Now, keep in mind, the congressional One Big Beautiful Bill Act that passed this summer actually was starting to wind down SAVE. Congressional Republicans said that by 2028, if you were in the SAVE plan, you had to get out. It was over. Now, what we don't know and what this settlement hasn't explicitly said is what's the timeline? So I really think this is something that we'll have to continue to pay attention to as it unfolds in the courts. And then also, the Department of Education is going to convene a panel of experts to kind of flesh out the details of how to wind down this program.
You've talked to a lot of people in this program. What does this decision or this agreement do to them and the others who are in the program?
I think it just heightens a lot of the confusion and a lot of the uncertainty, especially since this settlement hasn't offered a distinct and explicit timeline. You know, I spoke to a borrower who she already switched out of SAVE and into one of the other income-driven plans, one that was far more expensive. And this woman, who's a teacher, it had seen her payments go from $373 a month to $875. Now, you know, couple that with an increase in her health insurance at the same time, having to cover her mortgage and just other living expenses, it's a real strain and it's a real adjustment for a lot of Americans to have to make at a time when people are worried about inflation and gas prices and grocery prices. So I think this is a huge adjustment for borrowers, and hopefully there will be guidance to help them out of this. What certainly no one wants to see is a huge rise in delinquencies on these loans and defaults on these loans that could really hurt people's financial lives.
Danielle Douglas-Gabriel of The Washington Post, thank you very much.
Thank you.